Turn your Bible to our favorite scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. Get ready for Hebrews, because we're going to walk through Hebrews a little bit. It's kind of difficult to walk through that book. I'm going to get some highlights of that book, and then we're going to dive into the deeper parts of it. I'm amazed, Paul, the way he could look into the Word is just amazing. He wrote that as a letter. Incredible, incredible. I know he wrote it because it has a lot of resemblance to Romans. He's actually building an argument through Hebrews, and we'll get into that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We've been talking about the high places, and particularly the right hand of the Father. That's the government of God. That's His house. That's His kingdom. That's a special place. John said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I got to go away, but I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again and get you. When I come and get you, you can be with me in the Father's bosom, at the right hand. You can be with me where I am. That's the story of the gospel. Not just for the blood of Jesus to save you. That was your entrance and access point. The story was to bring you into the position of joint heirship and to sit down with Him and to have access into that place now. Amen? You have access, and I'm going to tell you this, until the church comes into that realm in this hour fully, the church will not see the demonstration. You can cry, shout, whine, throw a fit. Well, but that does not what bring the power. It's coming up to God. We want God to come down. God says, come up. Because when you come into your place of kingship, into that seat, into that realm, you're called to administrate from a heavenly tabernacle, not an earthly. If He just wanted us to do things the way man does them, pretty much the way the church is doing it, He wouldn't have had to change much from the Levites, except for animal sacrifice, because that's what they did. They administrated from an earthly tabernacle. Jesus changed that. He said all that was a figure of the true, of the tabernacle not made with hands in the heavens, the one that He paid the price for the church to come into and administrate from that position of the heavenlies. Now let's see where that position is. That's very important. The Bible has an incredible amount to say about the right hand of the Father, more than I ever knew existed till last week. Verse 17, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Not your calling, His. What is His calling? He wants you to know the hope of it. What's His calling? His calling was you to be with Him where He was. He would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You could make your journey into the bosom of the Father to stand with Him and administrate from a heavenly tabernacle. Listen, if you're born in the earth, you're going to think like the earth. You're going to do things like the world. But when you're born again, He's given you an instructor from that kingdom, the Holy Spirit. He was sent to teach us and how to bring us up into that place to administrate business and ministry. We saw the Lord take Peter out into the deep. He said, cast down the net. They were standing in a different dimension. They were standing in a different jurisdiction. When they cast that net down, they were, the kingdom of God was in that boat. You understand that? And when you cast down that net, well, things happen. Amen. That you may know the hope of His calling and the exceeding riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. His inheritance is you. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand, sat you right there with Him in heavenly places. Now, like this, because Hebrews is going to get into this a lot. Verse 21, far above. Everyone say, far above. All principality, power, might, dominion, every name. See, that priesthood was a heavenly priesthood. The right hand of the Father was far above. But then Ephesians 2:6, you He raised together, made you sit together. That's what he was talking about in Hebrews. He had entered into his rest. When Jesus finished the work and went into hell, what did he do? He went up into the heavenlies and sat down. And then he invited you to come into his rest. What was the true rest of God? For you to come and sit down with him, to cease from your labor, and to sit down in the heavenly place. When you do that, you'll find the labor of the kingdom. This is the paradigm shift where the Lord's trying to bring the church right now. The paradigm shift, he wants to bring us into the heavenly calling. All right? So let's jump into the right hand of the Father. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. On your way over there, I'm going to quote a verse to you. Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? Verse 34. Yeah, Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again. Same as Ephesians. Who is even at the right hand of God. Guess where you are? Right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The intercession he's making for us is to bring us up. Jesus longing for the day a generation will come up. See, the secret to God's power is taken forever to understand this. God, where's your power? Where's your glory? Where's the demonstration? Where's the Capernaum inheritance? You know, we cry, we shout, we fast. We do all that. I said, where's it at? We get trinklings. I'm finding now all of it is there. Right now, this is just a proverbial thought, so to speak. Oh, yes, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. But that's going to turn into reality as the more of God's word unveils the curtain, opens the curtain. As we see the word, we can go up into our priesthood. Once we understand to come into that dimension, it's amazing. Your feet will never leave the earth, but your spirit will move into another dimension altogether. When you come into that place and you can cast down the net. And as Jesus did it with Peter, he fell on the fish and began to repent. And Jesus said, you think this is something? In the business arena, you like that? I just paid for 3.5 years for you to follow me in one catch. He goes, wait till I make you a fisher of men. Wait till you see this work for the gospel when it comes to salvation and the lost. No more of the days where we're going to have to try to just make it all pretty and nice. And what's the next best thing? Hollywood, Madison Avenue, whatever we can do to get someone to fill a seat. No. When we come on, we'll cast the net of the kingdom. And when that net's cast from that positional seat, when we've entered into his rest, cease from our own labors, when we come into his rest, sit down with him, which is our lifelong message, is learning to sit with him. Then we cast the nets of salvation with the power of demonstration. And not only in the arena of business, but in the arena of ministry in the kingdom and the multitudes that come running because you're releasing a net of a kingdom that's not of this world. When you cast that net, what's in that net is a kingdom of increase and divine multiplication. Whatever that net touches, whatever it comes over, whatever it encloses begins to multiply immediately. Booyah. If we don't set the compass for where we're going, we're going to keep getting the same results. We're just going to make it shine a little better over here, say it a little bit over here, a little better personality on the left, but a little bit of better presentation on the right. But it's all the same result. That's why America's kind of a burnover field. It just keeps hearing the same thing. Here's the mower. But that deep harvest we're looking for is going to require that we go deeper. To go deeper, you go higher. And to go higher, then God gives you the true sickle of heaven. And when you cast that sickle in, kabam. But just like anything, you know, when Martin Luther started talking about justification by faith, everybody was scratching their heads. Say, what? They were so dark. They were just entrenched. Yet it was his lifelong message to portray that over and over again until that was born. That truth was born in Kenneth Hagin. He comes along, starts talking about faith, and goes, what? Faith? And see, it's his lifelong message. We're recipients of that message. And now God's going to begin speaking the right hand of the Father, the right hand. And then the books that we know very little about, they're going to go, whoo. And when they do, the curtain gets peeled back. Said, oh, my, look at that place. Come up on in. See, as we come up on in, then the power's there. The glory's there. And when you're in the glory, when you're in the power, you can let it down. Because the devil is truly under your feet. Not just because you said it, it's because where you are, you're with him where he is. And when you're with him where he is, you're far above the principalities and the powers of this age. So when you encounter sickness and disease, it's very easy for the Holy Spirit to anoint what's on your life. And it'll all obey you. That's why you can shout at the devil all day long. You can throw nets swimming in the water. You know how hard it is to throw a net when you're in the water? You can do that all day long. You shout at the devil until we come up out of the waters of the world system, out of the waters of carnality, and up into the glory where we're far above. Then you cast it down and it starts working. That's the resident anointing. The anointing without measure. Booyah! Everyone say booyah! Mo, there's a big old window, curtain, portal, doorway in Hebrews. Every book has a doorway. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 is a big doorway into the Father's bosom. Oh, Hebrews comes right in the middle of that. Hebrews 1, we'll just start with 1. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. He was talking about the old. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Glory. Whom he the appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, what? Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know how many times he says that in that book? Quite a few. When he purged our sin, he sat down. When he finished the work, he sat down at the right hand, expecting his enemies to be his footstool. Last enemy to put down is death. He broke the power of death at the cross, put your death of your body that's working in your body when you get a glorified body, spirit, soul, and body, the redemption of the purchased possession will be made complete. And he'll have a family. No telling what we're going to do with him for all eternity, but I'm going to have a big steak dinner there, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know he'll have steak there. Praise God forever. I'm going to rest for a while. How about you? Go fishing. I can imagine what fishing is like in heaven. Now, chapter 1. You have to understand how Hebrews, what he's going to do, he's going to begin to differentiate the priesthood of his Son and the kingdom of his Son. The first thing he differentiates is the order of angels and how he was made a little lower than the angels. So he had to go to the cross and he had to come in, and through that place he was made a little lower than the angels, became a man, but then God highly exalted him. That whole chapter 1 and most chapter 2 is speaking, differentiating between his priesthood and that of the angels, how he has a much more excellent authority, so to speak, than they, especially after the cross. Guess what happened? When he went up, you went up with him. That's why the angels are now ministers to the heirs of salvation. He switched that authority, by the way, at the cross. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, for he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See, he's marking him, his authority, because he's the firstborn. He's the heir. But when God did all this with him, he freely gave you that too. And now you have obtained that same excellence that he did. That's why the angels are more than happy to be ministers of the heirs of salvation. They're more overjoyed that Jesus would pay such a price for you. That's why they marvel over you. What was in you that would cause him to come out of glory to pay such an incredible price to give you a position at the right hand of the Father as joint heirs with him? They marvel at that, and they're more than overjoyed when the Father gives them the commandment to go. And they war just like you. It's eternal, but they're in warfare too. But they war on your behalf, on the behalf of the heirs of salvation. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. He's differentiating this. Look at verse 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, look at this, sit on my right hand? He did not give the angels that estate, but who did he give that to? Jesus, and then who else? You. Isn't that awesome? Everyone sit at the right hand. He gave you a position. It'll never be taken away from you. Booyah! Until I make thine enemies a footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits? Verse 14, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You know why they're ministering spirits? Because you were given the same rank and profile. Now, let me tell you something about this. You are not God. You're not Elohim. You're not little Elohim. You're not big Elohim. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will always have the rank as God. He does not share his deity with you. He shares his standing as the firstborn. The Father gave him a governmental standing at the right hand as the firstborn among many brethren. And in that place, as the firstborn among many brethren, he shares that full inheritance the Father gave him when he raised him from the dead. He freely shares it with you. Freely gives it to you. But not as deity. You're not a little Elohim. Sorry. A lot of people would like to be. The devil would sure like you to think you are, but you're not. But you are a bona fide joint heir. There's some plenty of authority. All the angelic host, not one of them have that level of authority. All the ones you respect, they don't have that position. Not what he gave you. Not even the archangels have that position. Everyone say booyah. Look at chapter 2. He carries this on into chapter 2. That's how you'll meditate that. Just remember chapter 1 and most of 2. He's differentiating. Now he actually draws you into his place of authority in chapter 2. Because he talks about how he obtained a more excellent name than the angel, but then he went and got you and brought you into the same place. That's just beautiful. Hebrews 2:7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and did set at him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things into subjection under his feet. For in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. That's Ephesians 1. Remember, he seated him far above. That's exactly what he's saying again. He set him so far above, everything was under his feet. Everything's under your feet. Imagine what the church is going to do when they actually live in that reality. You won't have to apologize to the world. You won't have to bow before the world. They'll see and know it. The demonstration will be on. You know, the kings there in Martin Luther's day were so afraid of him because of what he carried on his life. And you read the history of that. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He's got to finish the redemption. At the sound of the trump is when he finishes it completely, and you get a glorified body and the whole church fully redeemed. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower of the angels for the suffering of death. See, he went down into humanity, made a little lower than the angels during his time. Suffered death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, verse 10, for whom all things, 2 and 10, by whom are all things. Look at this. Here's his mission. In bringing many sons unto glory. Father, I will that they be with me. John 17:24, where I am, that where I am, there shall my servants and sons be also. See, it became him to bring many sons unto glory. It wasn't just to come and save you and let you live your life here. It was to bring you into glory. What was the glory? At the right hand of the Father's where the glory is. It's the position of joint heirship to bring you in. It became him to bring many sons unto glory. I want to get there and live there. And I want to bring a whole generation there. Because I know that's our call. And God's been defining this for 12 years now. Because we've been going a pathway and say, where are you going? I'm not sure yet, but it sure looks good. But then things up there get real clear and it's like, oh, that's our call. To create a navigational map for people to make it much easier so they don't have to stumble in the things we stumbled in. To bring them right in, amen? Set the compass, go for it. Set the compass, go for it. Set the picture, set the compass, here's the road map, go for it. Launch out, see. You got to have that roadmap, just like Paul outlined it in Hebrews and in Ephesians and John outlined it. I mean, this place is glorious and awesome. Amen? Look at verse 11. I love this. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Jesus, and they who are sanctified, that's you, they're all one. Do you understand that? Jesus was praying that you'd be made one. He was actually being brought into oneness with the Father in the Father's bosom at the right hand. He that sanctified you, that sanctified, you're all one in that now. Verse 14, Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death. Now, see, this is where he changed your standing. Through death, he might destroy him that had the power of the death. He was ruling over humanity with the law of sin and death because you were born in that state. Melchizedek was born in that state. Abraham was born in that state. David was born in that state. We were born in that state, and the devil was ruling over that. He was ruling over the nations, and Jesus came to change that. And when he did, he gave you the standing he received at the right hand of the Father. To deliver them, verse 15, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They were subject to the bondage of the law of sin and death. And he stripped that, translated you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his descent. Where do you think he translated you to? Translated you into the right hand of the Father, the governmental domain of the Father. All that's in a heavenly tabernacle, which you'll get into. So after he differentiated the angels, he began to say, now you, God crowned him, but he brought you too, because he had to become a little lower the angels to take your place. And God highly exalted him. When God highly exalted him, he highly exalted you. He came to get you, see. He went down and got you and pulled you up to where he was. That's beautiful. Who are we? Who are we that God would do? Now he's going to begin to introduce Christ's standing. He's going to differentiate it with Moses. Now he gets into Moses, and then he'll get into the Levites. He'll get into the high priest. He'll get into Melchizedek. He's going to do this for 3 or 4 chapters. Because he's going to differentiate Christ standing from Moses' house with the law. And then, see, now God, because God spoke through the old, but in the new, he's speaking through his son. See, Paul's still making that argument. This dispensation's changed now, and I'm speaking through the son now. The son's carrying, I've called him, this is my beloved son. This is my heir. This is the one I'm crowned. Everybody heard the voice roar and it thunder at the Jordan gate. They heard it. And the Holy Spirit descended down and said, the new heir has been born. Now hear him. And he's going to begin differentiating the old under Moses. You're going to have to tell anybody who you are. They'll see it. They're going to feel it. They're going to know the government that's on your life. That government is all determined where you stand with God. It's going to be hard to cast a net if you're swimming in the ocean with the fish. You're going to have to get above the jurisdiction of the earth system. Then you can cast the kingdom net down. And it'll start working for your business. And it'll start working for your ministry. It'll start working for your family. It'll start working for your generations. God will break all that off. Don't get caught up in the prince of the powers of air's domain and do warfare all your life there. That's a never-ending war. You got to get above it, and then you'll start seeing things happen. Don't glory in the fact you can see devils or discern devils. Glory in the fact you can go up higher and see the throne. I discern that I'm in the heavenly place. I discern I'm in the Father's glory. I'm with Him where He is. I discern all the spiritual blessings are flowing on me here. I'm full of glory and light and life. Father, let this government come down, thy kingdom come. Wherefore, holy brethren, I'm holy. I am holy. Partakers, look at this. Partakers of the earthly calling, heavenly calling. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest. Now start calling him a high priest. Except this priest wasn't called out of Moses' lineage. He wasn't called out of the Levites. He was called out of Judah, and there was no priest called out of Judah except him. In the same way Melchizedek was called outside of the priestly lineage. He was called after the order of Melchizedek. God called him outside of the priest. Yeah, amen to that. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful. Now he gets into differentiating there through chapter 3. He begins to introduce the rest. Well, I caught a revelation of the rest today. He began to introduce the rest. Now watch this. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Should seem to come short of it. Should seem to come short of it. I don't want to get to heaven for God telling me you came short of it. I don't care. I'll take the persecutions. I'll take the stripes here. I'll take the afflictions. I'll take the abuse. But I don't want to come short of the heavenly calling. Men's opinions, listen, they shouldn't mean a whole lot. Some of the opinions that you're valuing so high might not even be with you in 3 years. So why should you let their opinion rule you now? Because they may not even be with you. They may hate you in 3 years. They may not even talk to you in 3 years. They might disappear and never even say a word to you in 3 weeks. Why are you valuing so much? Now, I understand the wisdom and counsel. But the one you need to value most is the Father. I don't want to come short. What he's talking about is coming to the fullness of your seat. He's going to start talking about this. The rest. You have a promise of the rest. You know what the rest is? I finally figured out what it is just today. Are you ready? Go to Hebrews 10. You know what the rest is? You got to find out what his rest was before you can enter into his rest. You got to figure out what his was. Verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth continually, daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which could never take away sin. Speaking of the Levitical priesthood, they kept coming in. The high priest kept coming in year after year, but he couldn't do away with the sin. So he had to keep coming in, but this one came in one time. All he had to do was give it one time, and it was enough. That's when God said, it's finished. Book of verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right, ceased from his works. He was done. Entered into his rest in the throne, said, it's finished. price is paid to bring many sons to glory. Now he invites you to partake of his blood, to come up through the heavenlies and to sit down with him, to enter into his rest. Cease from your own labors. Enter into his rest. Sit down with him and rule and reign as a king and a priest back into the earth. But you got to make that journey. It's just not that easy. It's easier said than done. About the time you want to launch up into the heavenlies, you'll meet the prince of the power there. He's going to try to hold you back. But your faith, this whole book is about faith, is if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Keep on going. Keep on climbing. Go up, go up, go up. Sit down with him. When you make it there, the world will know it. Oh. When you make it, when the church makes it, in this hour, the church will make it. The world will know it. His demonstration's coming. The glory of that realm will come down into the earth. We keep saying, God, come down, come down. He says, nope, come up to where I am. And so what we do is we stop. I said, okay, if you're not going to come down, well, we'll just come in and employ some human sufficiency, Hollywood, Madison Avenue. We'll just start, you know, interjecting. Create the good presentations. We'll come and cut a deal. What will make you as a sheep come and sit down in our chair? Okay, we'll preach nice messages on family, on love. We won't offend. Get you in, get you out. We won't be a conscience to you. You won't change very much, but you'll be a part of a community. But what happens is we stop our pursuit into the high places. You understand? We stop that pursuit. And when we stop the pursuit, there's no power. You're out of position. We can't let down the nets. We never got in position. The greatest enemy of the church above the principality there is our own sufficiency to preach this gospel without him. We want him to come, but he wants us to come up. You've got to rule and reign from a seat. You've got to cease from your labors. Enter into his rest. Where is his rest? He sat down. He wants you to sit down. There's things in us that's going to have to sit down. Our flesh is going to have to sit down. Whew, that's good preaching. Probably not going to hear that in Bible school. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He just got through speaking of all those witnesses. You know, they didn't inherit the promise. They couldn't be perfected without you. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look, we tell you to look. Look, look unto Jesus. Where's he at? The right hand of the Father. Colossians 1, if you be risen with Christ, set your affections on things that are above, not on the earth, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father, for you are dead. And your life is hidden with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Look unto Jesus at the right hand of the Father. The author and the finisher of our faith, who the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, how many times has he got to say it? He sat him down, he finished his work, he ceased from the labors, he entered into his rest as the Son, and then he's the captain of your salvation. He asked you to come in to his domain. To enter into his rest as sons and daughters, to climb the mountain of God, crucify the flesh, come up, die every way imaginable to get into that place, and then to cease from your old labor, sit down with him, and then the ruling and reigning begins. And amazing, some of the greatest people God ever used, he spent a good part of their life crucifying the things that would get in the way. And then when they could get all that out of the way, they could sit down and function with him, and then he would release the heavens. They would start pouring through, and the whole earth would be filled. Don't take very many of those kind of people to get a job done. I want to see a whole generation. I want to set a compass for a whole generation to come up into that seat. Amen. We're going to see the demonstrations. We're going to see glory. We're going to see the transference of wealth. We're going to see the multiplication on many waters. Because that's when you sit down with him. He that entered his rest, he ceased from his own labors. Whew. All right, go back to Hebrews 4. Verse 9, Hebrews 4, 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He that has entered into his rest. That's his rest. That's his rest. The Son's rest. I used to think that was talking about my rest. Entered into his rest. When he finished the work, he sat down. He that entered into that seat of inheritance. You were raised together with him, Ephesians 2, made to sit down with him. That's what it means to enter in. In other words, you enter into the kingdom. You enter into the priesthood or the tabernacle not made with hands. You enter into the heavenly calling. You come up out of the earth into the heavenly calling. And you administrate from that position. Whew. Tell me that ain't good. There's a big old doorway of Hebrews sitting there. I said, yeah. That is labor. Therefore, to enter into that rest, it's going to require some labor. Isn't that a diametrically opposed statement there? Let us labor to enter into rest. Labor to rest. Labor, the spiritual labors of your life. Is what's going to cause you to enter, because the labors here will cause you to enter the rest there. Hebrews 4, verse 14. You know, he's about to get into the unpardonable sin here pretty soon in Hebrews 6, you know, and just he'll dance through that in six verses, you know. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, verse 14. See, he's a great high priest. He's administrating from a heavenly tabernacle. That is what? Passed into the heavens. Well, I want to worship like the Levites did. Why do you want to do that? I mean, it sounds good, but they never got to pass into the heavens. I want to worship like Jesus did. He passed into the veil. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Now watch this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne. If you didn't have access, why would he tell you to come boldly? The throne of grace. He would say come boldly if you had no access. Of course you have access. Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Well, that gets you in trouble without the laws of meditation, wouldn't it? Well, your brother, it says right here that we are leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Never. Gary Carpenter, never. And I mean ever. And I mean ever take a verse out of context. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. See where he's pointing the compass? Now, here's where the church is swimming, if the church is even swimming in these truths. And Paul's saying, look, we got to go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. I mean, how many times you can get somebody born again? Faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal life, and all this is milk. Paul saying, look, we got to go on into perfection to achieve the heavenly calling, which is to sit down with him. That's a high, high place. We're going to attain it. There's nowhere else for us to go. Amen. Look at chapter 7, verse 11, real quick. He's going to talk about perfection a lot throughout Hebrews. He's looking for you to come into that place of perfection with God, to sit down with him, to cease from your labors. Look at 7:11. If therefore perfection were obtained by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest that should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In other words, if the Levites could have ordered the perfection, if you keeping the law could have got you perfected, why would you ever have to bring in somebody else? Those Levites coming continually year after year, the high priest coming in was signifying, the Holy Spirit was signifying, perfection had not yet been attained until this one priest came in, which we talked about. And he went in once into the veil. See, they offered in the earth, but he went into the heavens and presented the blood before the heavenlies. And when he did, he pierced the heavens. He opened the door. He opened the heavens. He merged heaven and earth. When he merged heaven and earth, he gave you access. And perfection was obtained. Hebrews 10:14, you were forever perfected. Now Paul said, now you have the standing. Go on and stand up. Go on, ascend into your place. Go on and sit down with him and rule and reign with him. Stop playing in the sandbox, but grow on into the fullness of who you are and who he is in you. Hebrews 6, verse 17. We're in God, verse 17, willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, that's you. Everyone say, I am an heir of promise. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, look at this, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. What is that hope? Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil. You see that? This hope that you have entered to that that was within the veil. It went through the holy place into the Holy of Holies. This hope went into the Holy of Holies, not in the kingdom of the world, but in the kingdom of God. He said, tell Moses that he builds according to the pattern on the mount, because we're doing things. You're building something that is just a figure in the earth, but the true tabernacle that the Lord pitched and not man is in the heavenlies. And you have a hope now that can go beyond the veil, within the veil. Having therefore boldness to enter in by the blood. Ready? Look at this, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, where the forerunner is for us had entered, even Jesus, made a high priest, even after the order of Melchizedek, went through the veil as a forerunner for you. And when he went through there, I got to go away to prepare a place for you. When I go away, I'm taking my blood. I'm going to go into the belly hell, but God's going to raise me. When he raised me, I'm going to bring my blood and I'm going to lay it upon the true tabernacle in the heavens. And I'm going to go through that veil. When I do, the earthly veil is going to rent. That's signifying I got through the heavenly one with the veil. I got through with the blood. I'm the forerunner. I went into the veil. Now I put a hope in you that now you can go through the veil. You can go through the veil. The forerunner went before you. Now you can go through the veil and sit down with God at the right hand of the Father. Execute dominion in the earth. Oh, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Through the veil. The forerunner is gone through the veil. The forerunner is gone through the veil. And I'm going right in there with him. Everyone say, I'm right in there with him. You see how it opens? That faith that's coming alive in you, that's what gives you the access to go through that veil to reach higher than you've ever reached.
to go further than you've ever gone, to reach in, and then God will get you. When he gets you high enough, he'll say, now let down your nets. Now let it down. Oh, glory to God forever.